Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 74 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the sleepy, dreamy, siesta-taking creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I've put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And I'm so bouncy and smiley. I don't know if you guys can hear that in my voice today, but I'm feeling it. I was thinking about you, and just off the top of my head, I know I'm going to forget so many people, but I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to those of you who I know listen almost every week. Lisa, Phoebe, Eddie Rose, Erica, Christy, Maria, Joshua, Tamara, and so many more. I just want you to know I know you're there. I know you're listening. And I am sending you so much love your way. And again, thank you to those of you who have reached out to send me a message saying that you appreciate the show, and especially to those of you who have taken the time to leave me an iTunes review. I don't even know if I know how to leave an iTunes review, so I'm impressed. Rachel, that was so nice. You were the last person to leave me a review, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for helping me get the word out about the show and just for making it fun for me, just knowing there are people listening and I'm not just talking to myself here. And I saw your review, Rachel, which is so nice. Thank you, because right before I came on just now, I wanted to see if iTunes finally got with the program and put those 13 missing episodes back, and they did. So that, too, I'm sure explains my happy mood. Oh, great. And there's a dump truck right outside my window again. I was trying to get away with, hi, Steve. We got a cat in the window. I was trying to get away with leaving my window open today because it's hot, but it's so noisy here. I live right down the street from some car lots, like Car Lot Row. And across the street from a junior high school. And we have, like, hyper-vigilant garbage men. they pick up the trash, which I appreciate, but it's really, really noisy. Anyway, today I wanted to talk about the magical siesta. Siesta! A siesta is, and I don't know what dictionary I got this from, but I wrote it down, an afternoon rest or nap, especially one taken during the hottest hours of the day in a hot climate. But doing a little bit of digging around, I saw that that's not necessarily true, because Patagonia, which is apparently a cooler place than Spain, which I know most of us associate with siestas, and Italy, they take siestas as well, so it might just be a cultural thing. And unfortunately, Americans don't get to participate in that thing, but I feel like we should. And I wanted to talk about the magical siesta in relationship kind of just to life in general, your health, your psycho-spiritual life, your psycho-spiritual health, but also the Wheel of the Year. Because I just had another module come out for the Wheel of the Year, and this is one that you can sign up for anytime in August. It's something that you can just do in an afternoon, or you can spend a weekend doing it because there's a Crafty Witch project that involves a little bit of time, depending on the person. Some people like to take more time on those things than others, but it was in honor of Lamas and Luna Saad, which so many people don't even know what that is. Or celebrate it if they do know what it is, but it's another turn of the wheel that happens at the beginning of August. But because it's such an obscure holiday or whatever, I just wanted to make something that would resonate with more people, and that really just represented the dog days of summer, these last weeks of summer, the entire month of August. So it's called the Autumn Transition, and it's all about, you know, making the most of August and being present to what is. I didn't even mean to talk about this. I just wanted to mention that that module got me wanting to talk about a siesta, and somehow, blah, 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 here I go. I really like writing those, by the way. I love writing those modules. I get a kick out of it, and I like making the little Crafty Witch projects, and I love our little private Facebook group. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you can find it super easy. Just go to www.psychospiritualwheeloftheyear.com, and you can read all about it. But the point I was originally trying to make before I went off on that whole woohoo was that thinking about a siesta as an afternoon rest or nap during the hottest hours of the day in a hot climate, it makes me think that August is that time on the wheel of the year. August is the hottest time of the year. August is the afternoon of the wheel, so to speak. And I hope that you're blessed enough to get some time off in August. I know a lot of people are missing online, and I think that's awesome. Good for you if you're not listening to this show right now and you're off having some tropical vacation or mountain vacation. Sounds good to me. I want to go hiking. I want to go to the forest. I feel Oregon calling to me for some reason. I just want to get out of the heat and get into the green a little bit more. But it's interesting that siestas, they're often associated with laziness, I think, by Americans, but they have so many biological benefits. They are good for your cardiovascular system and your heart health. And that's been measured by science, but I like to think of, and I know you're a magical person, so you probably like to think this way too, but I like to think of the literal heart, the physical heart, as just being the physical manifestation or representation of the figurative heart, or your heart chakra, your ability to love and let love in, which to me encompasses so much more than romantic love or the love involved in any personal relationships with your family, your kids, your pets, your friends. It's also about passion and your ability to connect to your life's work and your soul's purpose. And I do think that we need to regroup sometimes and just hermit out in order to keep that passion alive. I don't know that we can keep our nose to the grindstones 24/7 all year long. I think sometimes you need to take a step back to keep that love alive and to keep that passion burning. You got to kind of hermit out sometimes, which is why we have the hermit card in the tarot. It's an important part of our psycho-spiritual development. And I really relate to the hermit. It's often depicted as an old dude in the wintertime. So it makes me think of like hibernation. But something I started thinking of a couple years ago, because I used to get really depressed every summer. I grew up in Bakersfield where it's like 10 million degrees 6 months out of the year. It's so hot there. And now I don't, the air conditioning broke on my bug. It's $1,300 to fix it. So I haven't had air conditioning. This is my second summer without air conditioning in my car. And so I just feel super lazy and lethargic when it's really hot outside. And because I have a history with depression, that always reminds me of depression, because when I was depressed, that was one of the main ways that it manifested, and just this super lethargic, lead in my veins kind of feeling. So I really don't like that feeling. And I've worked through this sort of, I hate summer, thing that I had for so long. I think 2012 was the last time I actually had a summer where I just was kind of angry and pissed off and kind of depressed because I just, whatever, I did some work around that, and I started thinking about, like, you know what, this is just like another hibernation period, and maybe we have two hibernation periods. I know the winter is associated with the hermit and hibernation and going underground and resting, but when you think about a siesta, if you think about August as being the afternoon of the wheel, it kind of seems like we get two hibernation periods, and that's nothing to worry about. If you feel lethargic and lazy in these dog days of summer, maybe you should just go with it. And I hope you have air conditioning. I posted something on Facebook that cracked me up. I love George Carlin quotes. His, like, delivery is a little grumpy old man for me. It's a little like, ah. But I've come to appreciate it more as I've gotten older. So I don't know what that says about me. But I do love to, like, dig up George Carlin quotes. And he has a book I really want to read, too. But I was just looking for a little funny soundbite, I guess, just like a little quip, but I found this whole paragraph he wrote about sleep, and it made me laugh, and it made me think, which he was so good at doing. So I'm going to read that to you in case you didn't see that Facebook post. He said, "People say, I'm going to sleep now, as if it were nothing, but it's really a bizarre activity. For the next several hours, while the sun is gone, I'm going to become unconscious, temporarily losing command over everything I know and understand. When the sun returns, I will resume my life." If you didn't know what sleep was, and you had only seen it in a science fiction movie, you would think it was weird and tell all your friends about the movie you had seen. They had these people, you know, and they would walk around all day and be okay. And then once a day, usually after dark, they would lie down on these special platforms and become unconscious. They would stop functioning almost completely, except deep in their minds they would have adventures and experiences that were completely impossible in real life. As they lay there, completely vulnerable to their enemies, their only movements were to occasionally shift from one position to another, or if one of the mind adventures got too real, they would sit up and scream and be glad they weren't unconscious anymore. Then they would drink coffee. So the next time you see someone sleeping, make believe you're in a science fiction movie and whisper, "The creature is regenerating itself." That's it. I'm sure I did not do that justice. I'm sorry, George, wherever you are. I tried, but it still makes me laugh. And I think that's what the siesta is about. It's about the creature regenerating itself. And it is kind of funny when you think about the way that we are designed. And did you know that Leonardo da Vinci, arguably the world's most genius, was a fan of napping? And that is because napping and siestas, that is associated with creative genius. Thomas Edison, who, I have a bone to pick with Thomas. I feel like he really ripped off Nikola Tesla, but, and he did. I don't feel like he did. He did! Mofo! But anyway, he was a fan of the power nap, and I've actually heard the story told in a couple of different ways, sometimes with an apple, but often with marbles, and apparently, because he was such a creative genius, he would hold a handful of marbles in his chair while he was working in the middle of the day, and he would have his arm, like, propped up on the armrest of his chair. When he came across a problem that he wanted to work through, he would let his subconscious work it out for him. So he'd go into a dream state, and then as he fell asleep, when he reached a deep enough layer of sleep or level of sleep, his hand would relax and the marbles would drop to the floor, and then he would wake up and apparently he would have the answer to his problem, which I think is kind of magical. I feel like as witches, as magical people, that's what we're always trying to do with our meditation and our rituals, and we're trying to access those deeper layers of our brain, that genius, that creative genius that lies deep, deep, deep within. And even beyond magic, we just have a biological need to rest and for sleep. And I went around and dug up some cool factoids from websites online. I guess all websites are online. That was redundant. I didn't need to say that. But according to the Sleep Foundation, naps, siesta, the magical siesta, naps can restore alertness, enhance performance, and reduce mistakes and accidents. They studied, NASA studied military pilots and astronauts and found that a 40-minute nap improved their performance by 34% and their alertness by 100%. I don't know. That sounds weird. Their alertness by 100%. Does that mean they were 0% alert before their nap? Naps can increase alertness in the period directly following the nap and may extend alertness a few hours later in the day. Napping has psychological benefits. A nap can be a pleasant luxury, a mini vacation, but it can also provide an easy way to get rejuvenated. And often 20 minutes is like the recommended power nap, and I've actually heard warnings, don't sleep past, you know, this magical 20-minute period that is considered a power nap. And that is true for me to some degree. Like 2 hours seems to be, if I don't set an alarm, I will just sleep for 2 hours if I try to nap in the middle of the day. but 40 minutes, and when I do a 2-hour nap, I always wake up kind of feeling groggy, and it takes me so long to wake up that I end up feeling like I just wasted, you know, an extra hour of my life besides the 2 hours I took to nap, just getting my brain awake. And that is why the all-important they recommend just doing a 20-minute nap. But I have found that a 40-minute nap works for me. I don't know if that's because I need the full 20 minutes to get into a sleep state or whatever, and then I need another 20 to sleep. But the way I do it, and I do this most days, by the way, because I work from home, I can get away with it. I have my little yellow egg timer that I set for 40 minutes. I put my earplugs in. I blast a fan at my head, which makes the room cool and blocks out the noise of the dumpsters in the car lot and the school across the street. And then I'll set up next to me a notepad, and then I have this little teacup that I can cover so my tea stays hot. So when I wake up, I can jot down any cool dreams I had or any just ideas about my life or insights, and I usually have a few to write down, and then I have a cup of tea to help me wake up my brain and get back into the swing of living my life. And I did name this show The Magical Siesta, so I do want to reiterate here that naps and siesta time, they are magical. It's about integrating your day, integrating your life, integrating the season, integrating ideas, and letting your subconscious mind do some processing and some organizing. So you're shutting off your super busy monkey mind, your conscious mind, and allowing your subconscious and even your soul to take over and do its thing for 20 to 40 minutes. And I get so much inspiration for my dreams, so many creative ideas and insights into my life. I start to figure out what I'm really feeling when my feelings are hard to pin down just by, like, looking at what I'm dreaming about. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm feeling, but if I kind of analyze my dreams, I'll be like, oh, okay, I see. I'm afraid, or I'm worried, or there's, like, shame issues coming up. And sometimes it just helps me figure out what to do next. So if you're open to the messages of your dreams and able to interpret the symbolism within, there is so much guidance to be had there. And I feel like I should just do a whole separate show on dreaming, because to me, I love dreaming, and that is such a part of my life that everybody else would dismiss, like, who wants to hear you recounting your dream? I had the most amazing dream. It never comes out the same when you're trying to repeat it to another person. You know, it's the feeling, I think, that's so exciting, and the vividness of the feelings that you're having, and that's hard to convey to another person. But even beyond dreaming, I know some people aren't big dreamers. There is value there. Like I was saying, integrating and processing, I think our minds get the chance to do that when we just shut off for a minute and go to sleep, even for a little bit. It reminds me of the restorative yoga pose that is done at the end of many, if not most, yoga classes. I like a yoga class to end with this, and it's called Savasana. And I wanted to list some health benefits to doing Savasana, which is corpse pose. Let's just use plain English. Corpse pose. It's when you lay flat on your back and completely relax and let go after a yoga session, especially a really challenging yoga session. It's so nice to just lay on your back, kind of starfish position with your arms and legs relaxed at your side. So I went to my yogaonline.com and I wrote down the following benefits that they list for Savasana. It relaxes your central nervous system and calms your mind, helps relieve stress, relaxes your body, decreases beta brain waves and shifts to slower brain waves, reduces insomnia, improves sleep, reduces headache and fatigue, and helps relieve depression. Pretty cool, huh? It's like a mini siesta to end your yoga session, and I feel like that ties into what I'm trying to say here. It does in my own mind, but that last benefit is particularly interesting to me because of what I was just saying about how I don't anymore, or I haven't this year or the year before, associate summer with depression. And it's interesting to me because I do think that our culture's drive to constantly go, 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 do, be, it can be depressing. We are not allowed to take a break, or we don't give ourselves permission to take a break. And we develop kind of the mental health equivalent of walking pneumonia. We develop a kind of walking depression where we're up and moving and we're going to work and doing things, but we're feeling more and more checked out and disconnected and empty inside because we're not taking the time to restore our energy and fortify our spirits. So we become kind of like walking zombies, especially if we turn to pharmaceuticals to treat a depression that is born of exhaustion rather than some genetic chemical imbalance. So I just thought I would throw that in there. And I cut and pasted so much from the internet that I wanted to read you. And again, I have 8 minutes here. Talk fast, Joe. Talk fast. I'm not going to make the show longer, by the way. I always say, oh, no, I only have 30 minutes. But I'm comfortable with the 30-minute time frame for now. I'm feeling good about it. You can let me know if you wish the show was longer. That's very flattering, but I'm happy to do it just for 30 minutes. It feels good. And if I have something that I'm just dying to say, I can say it in the following week. But lifehacker.com, which is a really fun website, also has a bit to say about napping. So I grabbed some things off this post that they did, lifehacker.com, if you want to go check it out. But they talked about an afternoon nap and how it markedly boosts the brain's learning capacity. And apparently researchers from Berkeley, they did a study that found that sleeping for an hour, see, the numbers are all off, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, they found that sleeping for an hour dramatically boosts and restores brain power, in turn making it easier to learn and retain new information. This I thought was fun. Sleep clears out our short-term memory, making room for new information and priming us to be better, more efficient learners. I think I just liked that little bit right there where it says clears out our short-term memory. Something about that. I just picture a little like whoosh, wiping away, a refresh. And in boosting your memory, you also boost your creativity. So incidentally, memory and creativity, they go together. And apparently there is a sophisticated kind of memory that helps us see the big picture of things and boost creativity. So neuroscientists at the City University of New York found that taking a nap boosts this sophisticated type of memory that I was just saying, helps us see the big picture and be more creative. And they used a 90-minute nap to measure this. But researchers there say that even short naps of 12 minutes or more can have a positive effect on memory. And somehow this quality slow wave sleep that can be achieved during a power nap is thought to enhance problem-solving abilities and generate new ideas. Super interesting. What else do I have here for you? Researchers at Berkeley, again, did I just read this to you? It's kind of redundant, actually. What else did I say? Oh, let's just go back to talking about magic, shall we? Do you really need to hear more science factoids about why napping is good for you? It just feels good, damn it. And I think it has so much to do with magic as well. It's not just about becoming more efficient learners. I think it can also be about becoming more proficient magicians, more alert, more present, better able to connect to the subconscious layers of our mind and to walk between worlds. And as those oh-so-important scientific studies underscore, it boosts your creativity, and magic is so much about creativity. And I have to add just another random funny here at the end of the show. My husband loves Bill Maher. I love the format of his show. It's a political show on HBO. For those of you who don't know, they talk about, like, the week's news, and then they sit and yell and scream at each other for an hour about politics, basically. I like the format of the show, but I'm not super crazy about Bill Maher's attitude. Captain Negativo, I often call him. But anyway, I watch it with my husband because he likes to watch it, and it's fun to watch TV together. And he ended last Friday's show with a rant about how now is siesta time and how he's taking August off, and fuck everybody who thinks that he shouldn't be taking August off because he's doing it, damn it. And why don't we have that in America, like an official siesta time or official time of rest? And that really made me sit up and take notice because that was what I was planning on talking about for today's show. So I wanted to try to find that rant for you to read at the end of this show today. And what I found was one he did in 2012. So apparently he is recycling his material, or he's not over that issue. And so I cut and pasted that here into this little file I have. So I'll read that to you. This is from 2012, but it's basically what he just said on Friday night that I thought tied in so well with his show. So he said, new rule, American workers must get at least as much paid vacation as the Chinese slaves who make their iPhones. Did you know that 138 nations mandate vacation time by law? But one of them isn't the Republic of here. In England, In England, you get 28 paid vacations a year. I am so sorry. In England, you get 28 paid vacation days a year. In Switzerland, you get 20. In Sweden, you get 25. In Greece, you get infinity. And Americans look at this and think it's weird without realizing we're the weird ones. They have the right idea. The Declaration of Independence says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not work, consumerism, and the pursuit of profits for Mitt Romney's investors. No, most Americans get 2 weeks vacation, unpaid, which they often don't even take because they're too afraid their jobs won't be there when they get back. Our politicians love to brag, the American worker is the most productive worker in the world. Yeah, because they work scared. That's why a majority don't even take all of the few vacation days they get. because you don't want to seem less valuable to your boss, especially since we live in the only big boy country where losing your job also means losing your health care. And then you won't be able to get the Prozac that helps you forget how depressed you are about having no free time. Yay! And I squeezed this all in. I hope that you have the kind of job that allows for some free time and that allows you to take some time off in the summer. And if not, I hope you take full advantage of the weekends. Take a few off to just sleep and dream and rest. Join me for this module of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. The focus is not on naps. That's what this show is, and I don't want to repeat myself. I like to offer fresh content for that that's just for the participants in that program. It's mainly just about being present to what is. And it is related to this show in that it's about being present to what is so that you can do some integrating and perhaps some editing in these last weeks of summer before the hustle and bustle of fall begins. Because autumn equinox is right around the corner, my favorite time of year. I will see you next Tuesday, or I will be talking at you next Tuesday. Same place, same time. Much love. Peace.